Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the 31st of August, Thursday 2017, and another fellowship. We started the teachings on faith on the 9th of August with the first teaching titled Living by Faith is Not a Struggle, which was followed by part 2, Living by Faith is Not a Struggle, which Amy taught. The third teaching was by Jason, The Fuel for Faith is Love. And the fourth teaching was Faith Will Turn Every Defeat into Victory. The fifth teaching was The Life That I Now Live. And the sixth teaching is Faith Is Now. And the seventh teaching was by Jason, Two Types of Believing, You Choose. And then last night, the eighth teaching by Phil Hussam, which was titled Growing in Faith. And you can find these eight teachings on my website, gracelovingtruth.com. I encourage you to go and listen to them and work them as a series, even though it wasn't we didn't plan this teaching series. It's something that God is leading by His Spirit and working in us, not just for us, but for whoever is listening to this on the blog. And I thank you guys on the blog for joining us. We will be doing Skype fellowship. I'm waiting for more people to respond. So if you want to join us on a Thursday night for Skype fellowship, please send the emails in. When there's a few people that have emailed me, then we'll start that fellowship with the Skype. So you can join in. It'd be great to have you join with us, and we can join our faith together and we can fellowship together, and it's good that we fellowship together. So tonight my teaching is the power of faith-filled words. And it's very important, you know, what we say, what are we saying with our mouths. So as well as actions, faith is released by the words of our mouth, what we say. Are our words filled with faith, or are they filled with death? Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what have you been saying? What have you been confessing? Because your words are so very important. James, in the book of James, it talks a lot about the tongue, about what we say, what we confess. We know through the word of God, and we've looked at the scriptures about God calls those things not as though they were. But tonight I want to look at what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ understood about the power of the words, and how he would encourage people to have faith in God. And obviously to have faith in God is not just shown in our actions, but it's also by what we speak, what we're declaring from our mouth. So if you go to Mark chapter 11, we're going to start in there. Now, I am going to go a little bit quicker tonight because there are a few verses I want to look at. So if you can't keep up, then just listen. You can go back over the teaching on the blog and you can press pause to keep up with the things. Okay, but tonight I just want you to listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So just listen, and where you can follow in the scriptures, follow. So in Mark chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 13, and it says, And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, if you was to hear someone speak to a tree, you would say they're mad. So what was Jesus doing speaking to a tree? He's come to it to get something off it, and he wasn't happy. And so basically what he done, he actually cursed this tree with the words of his mouth. And then he goes on in verse 20 of the same chapter, and it says, And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So it happened that quick. Okay, and Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, Have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And one of the great things to recognize in this verse is that, you know, he said, first of all, he said, have faith like God. So that's one thing. So what was God's faith? And we can go to the scriptures later on and see this, right? And then he says that whosoever. So what category of people are in there? Whosoever people, whoever it is, believer, unbeliever, whosoever shall say. And the word say and saith is used three times in this verse, which is complete. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So basically, you will have what you're saying. If you're looking at your problems and your situations and your circumstances, and you are agreeing with your problem, situation, circumstances by saying what it is, that's how it's going to remain. It's not until you take action and start changing what you're saying that you'll start to see the things change, right? So it's very important what we say with our words. We got to remember that God's word is a living word and it's filled with faith. We can have faith and doubts at the same time, but we want to get to the place where we got full faith, where there's no room for doubt. So when the leper come to Jesus said, if thou will make me clean. And Jesus Christ said, I will, be thou clean. See, he knew that Jesus could do it, but he had a doubt. Was he willing to do it? But it wasn't until he went to Jesus and asked that he then was clear in his mind that he could receive. And he went away clean. He was healed. So can you see, you can have doubt and faith at the time. We can know the scriptures, what the word says, but we could be saying what the world says. And so we need to get our heart synced with our confession. What we believe in the depths of our being needs to be agreeing with our words. We don't want to believe one thing and say another. We want to be 100% fully persuaded on God's word and say what he says. And then it carries on in verse 24. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. And I looked at this word desire, and it can also be translated as call for. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you call for when you pray, believe you receive, which is manifest them, and ye shall have them. This word receive is lambano. So it says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you call for when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. What are you calling for when you pray? Are you calling the problem to God? Or are you calling God's promises to God? Are you calling those things which are not as though they were? Or are you saying the problem? And a lot of times, a lot of people will pray the problem to God. Really, you can put that in the same category of the children of Israel in the wilderness. They complained rather than believed. They were saying what they didn't have rather than saying what God says they could have. So we need to come into agreement with God. We need to know what God says about our situation. And we come into agreement with God. And then we release our faith by our words. See, faith needs to be released. And it's through our actions that we can release it, or our confessions that we release it. We need to give voice to the word of God. We need to say what God says. And then it will become. Okay, so removing mountains or leveling them, which we're going to read in Zechariah 4 in a minute, into plains, are proverbial expressions denoting the overcoming the great difficulties and removing of obstacles. So in Zechariah 4, verses 6 to 7, it says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So it wasn't going to be done in his effort or his ability, but it was going to be done by the Spirit of God. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And I looked this up, and I looked at Albert Barnes' notes, and this is taken from the Bible Hub, and he says this, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt be a plain. The words have the character of a sacred proverb. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, as in Luke 14:11 and Luke 18:14. Isaiah prophesies the victory of the gospel in the same imagery. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And that's in Isaiah 44. And in the New Testament, Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I thought that was pretty smart when we were looking at the thing on mountains. Mountains really refer to the problems, the difficulties in life. what mountain is in front of you, what difficulty it is. Well, if you've got a mountain in front of you, if you've got a hill in front of you, if you've got the Himalayas in front of you, in a problem, is a big problem, then you need to talk to your mountain. You need to say what you want. You need to say what God says about your mountain. We let God work in us and we say what His word says about those situations. And God calls those things not as though they were. And we can do the same thing. We call the promises of God. We draw on the promises of God. And I want to read this Isaiah 40 because it's quite a record. In Isaiah 41 it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be refilled, and all flesh shall see it together. Why? For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God will always speak what is already going to be done. Here say it first, then it becomes. And we are made in His image. We have the Spirit of the living God in us. Jesus Christ operated in the exact same principles that God operated in. When He spoke to the waves, be still. To the sea, be calm. You know, to the winds, be calm. And to the waves, He spoke to them. He spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to the problem. And we can do the same. Jesus Christ was teaching His disciples these things. He'd done that for them to see. It's recorded for us to learn and to see these things. So God spoke creation into existence, and the substance of His faith manifested into what we can see now. His words were containers, contained what He wanted to happen. And our words also carry either negative or positive. So what have you been saying? And if you look back at your life when you've been confessing negatives, your situation has stayed negative, right? But when you get the promises of God and you start saying what God says, you start to see your situation change pretty quickly. And that's how we're to move. We're to be led by the Spirit. We're to be led by faith. We trust in those promises of God. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. The proof of things not seen. Okay, faith is. Faith is now. Faith is now. So we see it as done now. And then those things will become a plain. Okay, it may not manifest immediately. Sometimes it might manifest immediately. But faith calls those things not as though they are. And that's what God does. He puts voice to His word. He says it, and then it becomes. We can say what God says. In 2 Corinthians 4:6 it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. See, God commanded it. Hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11, 1 and verse 3. We're going to read verses 1 and 3 of Hebrews 11. So these things, when you just go through, meditate upon it and let God speak to you. Ask God to show you. Ask God to help you to receive His concepts of faith and how to operate in it. You have to ask God. Let Him show you. Let Him open it up to you. First one says, now faith is the substance or confidence or assurance of things hoped for or trusted for. The evidence or proof of things not seen. Jesus Christ said, when you pray, believe that you manifested them. When you call for those things in prayer, believe that you manifested them. It's already done and you shall receive them. In other words, it will become manifest. It's just really wonderful, wonderful truths. First 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. What God spoke, right? What God said. So the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. It doesn't mean to say they didn't exist, just that we didn't see them. So you have to use your heart, your mind with this. You have to go to the scriptures and get the understanding from God. Psalms 33, verses 6 to 9 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast. See, that's our Father showing us how to have faith, how to call those things not as though they were. And we can do that because we have that Spirit of God. All the promises in Christ are yes and amen. But it's not that we say, I got £1 million. No, we call the promises of God. We read that in 2 Peter chapter 1. It's by the promises of God. So, and these are covered in the other teachings. So I suggest you go and listen to the other teachings. So let's remind ourselves of what God said in Genesis. Again, we'll quickly have a look at a few first, not all of them. Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. I didn't put everything down. Genesis 1:14. God said, let the light in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heavens. See, God knew exactly what he wanted, and he called it. And we can know exactly what we need from the Word of God. And we can find that promise of God for our life, for our situation. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, and the cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. He said, and it was so. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So we see how God operates. We see how our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ operated. In John 14:12 it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Right, all power and authority was given to Jesus Christ. He gave that power and authority to us through the ministry and word of reconciliation. See, we use the Word of God. We say what God says. We need to let that word get into the depths of our being. And then we need to correlate that with our confession. Like Romans 10:9-10, we understand, if thou shalt say with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we got to synchronize our hearts with the Word of God, and we got to synchronize our hearts with our confession. And then that will set the course for our life. Can you see? The Word of God sets the course for our life, but there's something we have to do. We have to build our heart with what God says. We have to find out what God says, and then we start to say what God says, and then we start to act the way God wants us to act. Since we've been doing these teachings, have you found things starting to change pretty rapidly? Because I certainly have, and I know you guys have too. Romans chapter 4, let's have a look at this further, this faith and this confession, because these things are just so important, and God really has emphasized it throughout his word. When you look at Job about the things what he says, if you look at David about the things what he said, they say it and then do it. So Romans 4, verse 16, we're going to be in here just for a little while. And it says in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, God's grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. See, God told Abraham, I have made thee. Past tense. God said it's already done. God spoke it. Before him whom he believed, God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, when God spoke to Abraham, was Abraham the father of many nations before that? No. It was when God said. So when God says, it becomes. And we receive it by coming into agreement with it. Verse 18. Who? Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according, listen, this is the big key first word, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, believing, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief comes through totally not believing it, or because you're ignorant. And God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Are we being destroyed for a lack of knowledge through this confession and this faith, what God says about it? Or do we know it and not really operate in its principles? Because God wants us to operate in this. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, full faith, that what he, God, had promised, he was able to perform. So just like the guy that went to Jesus, he knew that Jesus could heal him, but he didn't know if he was willing. Abraham knew that God could do this and was going to do it. And that's how we have to view it, the promises of God, that, yeah, God can do this and he's going to do it because I believe it. So that settles the question. That settles it. And then we start saying what God says when we look at our circumstance. No, I am blessed. I am prospered. No, I am healed. I am delivered. God has made a way for me where there is no way. We start saying what God says. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to also perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You can look at it like this. And therefore it was counted to him for right standing with God. God counted his faith as right standing with him. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was counted to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be counted, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered, Jesus was delivered, past tense, for our offences, and was raised again for our justification. I read the record of Abraham, and in Genesis 17:5 it says, Abraham's name was Abram, which means father, high father, or father of heights. But God changed his name to mean father of multitudes and nations. Why do you think that God changed his name? I tell you why, what I think. It's because every time someone called Abraham Abraham, they were coming into agreement with what God called him. Right? Every time Abraham said his name, if someone asked him his name, he was saying what God says. Every time Sarah called his name, they were agreeing with God, what God has spoken. They were calling those things not also. They were in agreement with God. And then if you think about Sarai, Sarah, that was her name. Sarai means dominant or ruler. But God changed her name to Sarah, which means lady, princess or queen. And it's quite interesting because in the same verse it says, kings of people shall be of her. Right, so she was a queen. Every time they were calling her Sarah, they were saying, hey, queen. So I just really love that. We just have to say what God says. We have to be in alignment with it. Even though Abraham's name was originally Abraham, God changed it. And sometimes we might look at our problems and think, well, no, this is what the problem is. It's always been the problem. We've got to start changing our confession about it and start bringing in the word of God, what God says about it, and rename it with God's word. Right? It's just really wonderful. And this is how I just seen this, how God worked in me to see this. Luke 1, we look at other examples of receiving God's word to us. Because you could be listening to this now and say, well, no, I just don't believe that, this faith, name it and claim it, name it and grab it type of teaching. But it's in the word of God. But it's when we're humble and we consider these things and work the word for ourselves that we'll actually see that this is how God operates. And this is how Jesus Christ operated. And this is how we can operate with the words of our mouth lining up with what we believe in our heart. In Luke 1, verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Right, these guys had great hearts, yeah? And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. Who does that remind you of? bit of Abraham and Sarah here, right? And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense, and he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him, Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Verse 12. And Zacharias saw him, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. Now don't forget, is the angel of the Lord was delivering the word of the Lord, right? Verse 17, And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Verse 18, And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, unto the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their seasons. Look, he was saying, I've given you a message from God. I stand in the presence from God. I'm speaking on behalf of God. I'm delivering this to you, but you're not believing. So you're going to be dumb. Why do you think God allowed that for him to be dumb? Number one, because he didn't believe. But number one, he didn't want to talk against it, maybe. You can even look at it from that angle. And it was only for a season also until those things come to pass. But let's have a look at it differently. All right, so you see Abraham and Sarah, he had that example, but he just didn't believe what Gabriel said to him. But now, what about Mary? Luke chapter 1, same record. We're going to look in verse 6. And verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, it says, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. And the angel, same angel, Gabriel, came in unto her and said, How, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, don't doubt, don't worry, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angels, How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? I don't know anyone. I haven't known a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And man, we got to get to that place where we say, Okay, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. in that beautiful, she received it with faith. Zacharias had doubt, but she received it with faith. So when we say what God says, we will manifest in our life the things that God says we can have and who we are in Christ. When God has said something, it is good as done. And we receive it by faith and come into agreement with what God says. That's what we need to do. And sometimes our knowledge can get in the way of these things. Sometimes the problems will get in the way of these things. What we hear, see, smell, taste and touch in the senses will get away in these things if we allow. But if we fill our heart with the word of God and we're going to God in prayer, we're practicing faith, okay, then we know that when God says something, it's going to be. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances says. Right, we say what God says. Well, if God has given you a word about something in your life, you say that word until it comes to pass. You stay in agreement with God, because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he not said it, and shall he not make it good? See, God is faithful to his word. So let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 18. These records are just so wonderful. We need to remind ourselves daily sometimes, if not weekly or monthly, go through these records on faith and go through and see what Jesus Christ, how he spoke, what was his language, what was God's language, what were the men of God and women of God in the Bible, what was their language, how did they operate, how did they use their faith, how did they get their faith out there into the senses world? It was by their actions and by their words. In Proverbs 18:20 it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We're either speaking words of life or words of death. We're either speaking faith-filled words or worldly words, words of doubt, words that don't produce. So we have to get our heart and confession in line. We have to come into agreement with what God says. Let's have a look at Psalms. I'll let you get there. Psalms 19. And in verse 14. Psalms 19, verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we've got to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be in line with what God says. Then it's acceptable. We say what God says. We think what God says. And we can start to correlate our actions also with that. So you speak what is in your heart and what you think. You know, when we confess God's word out of our own mouth, we're going to believe the words more out of our own mouth than somebody else's mouth. So it's good to get the word of God, the promises of God. Start finding the promises of God. Write them down and start retaining them in your knowledge, and then start confessing them. Get it into the depths of your heart until it becomes, you know, living in you. Let that word really live in you, that you can call upon it. You can draw upon that fountain of living water of the word. And in Luke chapter 6, we're going to read there another record to further bring this truth in about having our heart filled with the truth of the word, because it's so important. So in Luke 6, it says in verse 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure or thoughts of his heart. That word treasure can be thoughts. So we'll read it again. Verse 45. A good man out of the good thoughts of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. How does he bring it forth? Through the words of his lips, right? And an evil man out of the evil thoughts of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaketh. Is that word living in your heart? You may have a knowledge there, but you're not really applying it, and you're not really confessing it. But when that word is alive and living in you, when you're allowing it to live by coming into agreement with it, then there's going to be power released, the power of what God says it's going to accomplish. Psalms 119 says, thy word, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Sin is to miss the mark, to say the wrong thing, to do the wrong thing, to act the wrong way. So we want to know what God's word says to us, how God wants us to be, how God wants us to confess, and to come into agreement with him. And that takes discipline. That takes the renewing of the mind. We need to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And who do we prove it to? Ourselves first. We have to prove it to us first. And then we'd be fully convinced. And then we continue to do it. And then we'd be proving it to others in our lifestyle, in our confession, in what we're doing, in what we're saying, in how we're living, how we conduct ourselves. So this word is a powerful word. Hebrews chapter 4. It says in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful. So the word quick is living and powerful is active. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Very powerful verse. We need to get this word so living in our heart that it's just flowing out of our mouth. It overflows from us in what we say and what we do. And we do that by putting this word on. And as we do that, then our minds are being renewed. See, our minds are being renewed as we do. There's no effort to it. God's doing the work in us and by us. John 6, 33, this is what Jesus said. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We need to come onto God's realm of things in the senses realm. We need to bring it into the senses realm. And we do that by our faith and confession. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. See, this word, the simple can understand it. And this word brings light. It brings light. This powerful and living and active word of God, when spoken and declared out of our mouth, we will give light and direction. See, we let God's word become our words and our lives, and we live according to the way God wants us to live. We have to come out and agree what God says. We have to come out of agreeing with what the world says. Let's stop agreeing with what the world says, what our granny said about how we should live our life, what our mum or dad says about how we should live our life. And let's get back to what God says about how we should live our life, how we should act. You know, when you're bringing a kid up, you teach him manners, don't you? Now, this is how you act when you go to school. This is how you act when we have guests around. We're teaching them how they should act and speak. But God is the master of this. He's our real Heavenly Father. He's teaching us how we should act and how we should speak. He's a good dad. A parent is a good parent when they correct their children, when they point out their children. This is what you need to say, and this is what you need to do. You say, yes, please. No, thank you. They're teaching the children how to conduct themselves. And God is teaching us how to conduct ourselves as his children in this world, so that we can be those examples. When you see a young kid and they're saying, yes, please, no, Maya, she says, yes, please, no, thank you. And everyone goes, oh, what such a lovely kid. Well, what are people going to say when we start acting the way God says we can act and speak? It's just so beautiful. Romans 10, 17 says, so then, faith, believing, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, this active word, this living word. So we need to get this word living in our hearts, and this is how we do it. James chapter 1, and this is our last verse we're going to look at tonight. And there's just so much we can learn on faith and confession. And also, we need to learn to say what God says, because that's where our authority is applied. Like when we're talking to the mountain, you need to use your words. When you're talking to the problem, when you're ministering healing, what do you use? Your words. You use your authority. Like we've seen the centurion with Jesus. He said, just say the word and my servant shall be healed. He knew that Jesus had the authority when it comes to giving command to sickness and devils and all these things. So he said, just say the word, I know it'll be done. James 1, verses 21 and 22, it says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's a great word study, this verse, these verses. And receive, dekamai, receive it to yourself, with meekness, the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be you doers. This word doers is a performer. But be ye a performer of the word. How do you perform it? In your actions and in your confession. And not hearers only. Oh, this is a great teaching tonight. And then you go away and forget it. Deceiving. And this word deceiving is delude. Lying to yourself. If you don't do this word, you are lying to yourself. You're deluded. And we don't want to be deluded. I've been deluded at times in my walk. But I don't want to be deluded. I want to be a doer. I want to be active. Like the word of God is active. I want to be living this word like the word of God is living. Really great to see how all these scriptures come together. But be ye a performer of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own self. Don't kid yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Because you've got a knowledge of the word, you've taken a million classes and you've done millions of retemeries, doesn't mean to say you'll actually believe in and live in it. There has to be a corresponding action and confession. But anyway, I'm going to finish off tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Here are some great promises of God, and we can claim and we can confess them. And so let's see what these wonderful blessings were. And in Deuteronomy 28, first one, it says, and you can go there yourself, I'll give you the minute to get there. This word of God does fit together, and it comes together. We'll just stay humble and meek and work these things for ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 8, first one, and it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, listen, diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do. See, just like James says, observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. There's benefits with God. God has given us many benefits. And when we do what God says, he's going to reward us. He rewards our faith when we diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Says in Hebrews 11:6. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. This is a great confession to make. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in the storehouses. See, God's going to command the blessings upon you in the storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself as he has sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. There has to be actions, corresponding actions to what we believe. And it's what we do and what we say. And all the people, verse 10, of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the fruit of the ground in the land, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the works of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. This, I want you to go quickly to Joshua chapter 1. Okay, verse 8, it says, Joshua 1:8, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And this word meditate means to mutter, to moan, to say the word to himself, and to do that, observe to do it, and to say it himself. When we meditate, we say what God says. Repeat the word of God to yourself, because faith is coming through your words of the word that's living in you. So these things are just really wonderful, and that's why I called this teaching the power of faith-filled words, because really our words have power in them. It's either negative power or it's the power of God. It's filled with the God type of faith power, like Jesus Christ had when he spoke to the fig tree, when he gave examples of speaking to the mountain, when he spoke to the winds, when he spoke to the sea. We can operate in that type of faith. We can do the same works that he done and greater works because he's gone to the Father. And as we set our hearts to do this, as we make up our minds that we're going to do this, God is energizing and working in you both to will and to do with his good pleasure. And you can do all things through Christ which strengthen you. So I just wanted to share this. Make this word your own. You've got to study this word yourself. If you're not convinced of what I'm saying, go and study it yourself and make it your own. Because these things work. The word of God works. And it's true. And so just have a look at what you've been saying, what you've been confessing. See the power in your words. See how that you can also use your authority. See, faith, believing, is the assurance or confidence or substance of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. So God bless you.